developmental optometrist, award-winning author, and international speaker, Dr. Lynn Hellerstein holds powerful and inspiring conversations with her guests on Vision Beyond Sight in areas of healthcare, wellness, education, sports, and psychology. They share their inspirational stories of healing and life transformation through their vision expansion. Billions of people have vision problems, and vision is more than 20/20. Vision Beyond Sight will help you see with clarity and gain courage and confidence. Your vision does not define you. You define your vision. With Dr. Lynn's new way to look at your life through a new lens, you will be ready to meet yourself and receive visualizations for miracles to come. Welcome to Vision Beyond Sight.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Lynn, and welcome to Vision Beyond Sight. Today, visiting with us is Barb Jordan, a three-time national champion, three-time All-American, seven-time gold medalist in the sport of softball, and a personal safety expert. Barb is truly an amazing person, as you'll quickly see her power and influencing abilities. Today, we're going to talk about a very important and serious topic, sexual assault and violence prevention. Let's learn a little bit about Barb, though, before we get started. Barb Jordan has been featured as a personal safety expert on ABC Good Morning and other numerous national news stations. Barb's traveled the world as an elite athlete, coach, broadcaster, and keynote speaker. Her speaking engagements have reached thousands at corporations, universities, and organizations, including live streams to four continents. Her empowering personal safety courses have recently launched online and can be found under her mantra, safetysafebevigilant.com. Barb grew up in California. There were seven people in her family. She began her mission with her company in 2018 when her sister's killer, Rich Lewis, was released from prison. Rich had been her sister's fiance, and he ended her life just 4 days after having Thanksgiving dinner with her family. Both of her parents are raised in the Bronx, New York, and they were very vigilant with strict rules growing up. But Rich was a charmer, and he was very good at weaving his way into our family circle. After he killed my sister, no one ever said, "I can't believe he did this," which tells us all there were warning signs. That is what Barb's company focuses on, warning signs. Sometimes violence happens from a stranger, and other times it can happen from somebody that we know. Barb's full course is full of education on how to stay safe with awareness, the importance of trusting our intuition, and to always have a plan of action if ever threatened. So Barb, welcome to Vision Beyond Sight.
Thank you, Dr. Lynn. Thank you for having me.
It's truly our pleasure. And let's get started with, and my condolences, and what an awful situation that's occurred. And tell us now, really, what happened and why did you start the organization Always Bev?
Well, my sister's killer was released from prison after serving just over 30 years for her murder. And it was extremely hard on our family because we know how violent and traumatic the incident was. And there was a lot of deceit with it. It wasn't that they were in an argument. There was like a master plan behind it. And so I thought to myself, you know, there's people like Rich that are just normal looking. Some of them get released from prison all the time. Others have probably committed crime and simply haven't been caught. And they're normal looking people. And so Always Bev was designed basically like what you spoke about, that, see, before anything happens, like violence happens, there's always some sort of warning sign. And after my sister was killed, you know, it was kind of like all the warning signs came rushing by us. Like there were warning signs, you know, but we didn't see it until after the fact.
That's what's so frightening, because we've all been involved in situations that either we don't see the signs, believe their signs, or a hope for the best. I mean, can you mention a couple of the signs that now looking back were so obvious, but nobody was really aware of them?
Yeah, they were obvious. And I think, you know, now in today's world, there's so much more education, specifically in relationships and domestic abuse. One of the things that Rich did was he isolated my sister. Very rarely was she able to go out with Rich, her, and all of her friends. If they did go out, it was just like with one friend at a time. And if they were in big groups, like specifically their engagement party. I remember the engagement party at my parents' house, and so many times I said, "Where's Rich?" And he was always in the shadows. He was never in the mix of people. And I think he did that intentionally, because if he was, you know, around everybody at one time, I think that, you know, he would have been discovered. I think he would have been discovered. I think people would have seen his antics just a little bit more.
So it's a challenging situation for all of us, especially in family, where we don't want to interfere in a relationship or our own relationship necessarily. Tell us how you start teaching people how to be safe without necessarily totally scaring them and being fearful of being with groups or seeing situations like that.
Yeah, listen, I love that question. Just listening to you read some of the introduction, I was like, God, this sounds so scary. And I want to tell everybody, it was absolutely terrifying. It was a very, very traumatic incident, something that gives me nightmares to this very day. And that's just the whole point. If you don't see it coming, it is scary. If you don't know what to do, it is scary. So understanding, you know, I don't just go out there and say, now, if you do this, this is going to happen. That's not the approach. The approach is that I talk about real life situations and that we can all make decisions to be safe. This is just an example. So there's a college student named Sammy Josephson, and she decided that, well, she had to leave to go home one night. All of her friends were out having a good time in the college district, but she was going to go home early because she had to work the next day. And so she went outside. Nobody went outside with her because she called Uber. And when Uber came, Sammy had been upset and she was on the phone. And when Uber pulled up, Sammy got into the car and the driver hit the automatic lock buttons, locked all the doors. She couldn't get out. He drove, you know, just a couple miles away and he just murdered her brutally. And the problem was, is he wasn't an Uber driver. He had been somebody who afterwards people saw him on camera driving around for 40 minutes looking for the person who was unaware. And so I use that story. And yes, it sounds scary, but we can stay safe and we can honor the victims that come before us. And so there are things that we can do before we get into an Uber and Lyft. Well, one, the first thing is you should never be waiting. If you're with a group of people, you know, safety in numbers. I wish people would have walked outside with her knowing that she was upset. Two, before you get into the car, the driver has to say your name. If the driver doesn't say your name, you can't get into the vehicle. And the other thing is look at the make and the model, the driver's name, the license plate number, all those things matter. And then never get into the front seat because that's just easy for somebody to have easy access to. Always ride in the back. And follow the app, follow the route home, and have that 911 access button ready if needed. See, that's empowering. Empowering is knowing what to do and that you've taken all of the safety precautions to stay safe. Being scared is not knowing if it's your Uber and Lyft driver and just hoping for the best and being highly intoxicated and thinking, oh, this won't happen to me.
Right. That's a great example. I want to throw out a situation that I and my daughter, my college daughter, was involved in, and would have loved to have had your training course before all of this happened. She was in a college back in New York, and she would walk home at night because of her classes. She was alone. That's already red flag. We get it. But that was the situation. And where she walked was under a bridge where there were a lot of people kind of hanging out, not the kind [S2] Sure. [S1] Of people you want to be around. And she had to do this almost every night with her class. And it was before the Uber times. So this was like 20 plus years ago. And she used to call me every night, and I would just talk with her through the bridge. And I was scared, and I was home in my house. How could that situation been treated differently by us?
I mean, there's safety in numbers. And, you know, if she's walking home, somebody's got to live in that direction. Or maybe there's somebody who can meet her at her class and walk her home. But specifically under a bridge, it's completely isolated. The other thing is this, is that people wait and watch. And so those people that hang out and lurk in places like that, they watch people's patterns. She's very lucky that she stayed safe. She probably had great awareness. Now, a lot of people stay on the phone. They think if they're speaking to somebody, they're going to stay safe. But really, our ears are our greatest sense. And so I always caution people, like, I don't know, just you can be on speakerphone, but don't have that phone up. I always put my phone, if I have to do that, I actually stick it inside of my bra and just walk. I walk as briskly as I can so my ears and my eyes are open and my head is on a swivel, just kind of looking left and right. And if something did happen, well, somebody would hear it through the speakerphone. But I always want my ears open, specifically in isolated areas.
Yeah, that's the irony of me talking to her takes her mind off of, but it takes her mind off of it, you know, and
right.
And takes her where her defense. And when I saw you as a potential guest, boy, that story just came flooding back into my head as to we truly dodged a bullet. And it still scares me like 20 years later of what could have happened. And it just happens that quickly. I mean, that's the issue, that things could happen so quickly. So if you wouldn't mind giving us some more of the safety tips you're recommending, I take it more often than not, you're talking about women's safety, but it's not just about women's safety.
No, a lot of my classes are for women, specifically at the universities, but when I speak at corporations, they're for men and women. And so one of the examples I give is, here in Nashville, a man walks out of his house at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and he walks to his car and he sees four teenage boys there and they're holding a gun, and they look at him and they say, "Give me your wallet." And he looks at them, probably thinking that they're like 15 years old. They're seriously not going to shoot me. And he says, "No." And they shoot him and they kill him. And that's how quickly it happened. And if he could do it all over again, I know he would have given those kids his wallet. Now, a different story. A handyman is out in front working on somebody's house. Three teenage boys come up behind him. They pull a gun and they say, give me your wallet. He has $60 in his wallet. He hands him the wallet. The kids run away. He calls the police and the police arrest the three boys like three blocks later. So that's how you do it. Like, you have to know your plan. And people always say to me, like, "Why'd they do this? Why'd they do this?" And the answer is because they've never taken their mind through it before. They've never lived through the what if moment. Like, what if I am walking to my car as a woman? What if I am walking to my car through a Target parking lot late at night and somebody comes up to me and wants my purse, you know, and I've got all my rent money in it or whatever it is? Like, the bottom line is you're going to give it up. The only thing you're not going to give up is yourself. You know, you can't ever be forced into an area of isolation like a car and be taken away. But if you don't go over these things in your mind ahead of time, people freeze. You know, your blood pressure is rising. All of your blood is rushing to your brain and people can't think, and they get intimidated and they get scared and they don't always make the right decision.
Right. The panic comes over and you're in your emotional brain, not your thinking brain, by all means. I noticed on your website, you also had some classes regarding active shooter. You want to give us some information about that?
Yeah, active shooter training is so important. And I think, you know, sadly, the youth today are being trained with active shooter procedures for what would happen if there's an active shooter. And it's the adults that are not being trained. But oftentimes we see that active shooters are happening in places of work, whether it's, you know, at a bank or, you know, some big corporate office. Everybody needs to know what to do. And a lot of people don't know what to do. Like, I always say, you know, the saying goes, run, hide, fight. If anybody ever has a gun in your vicinity, you should always run. You should always get distance. And so you want to run if you ever hear an active shooter. And don't just run where everybody else is running. Listen to where the gunshots are coming from. Remember, people panic, and they probably only know one exit. So if you are in a big store, let's say you're at a Dick's Sporting Goods and there's an active shooter, where's the other exit? And so oftentimes it's so simple, but wherever we go, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's your place of worship, you should always know different exits. Because if you don't know them ahead of time, you might not be able to think about them when you're under pressure during something that intense. So running is number one. Hiding, understanding that if you can't run and get out of the building, that you have to hide. And one of the biggest things you have to understand is to turn your ringer off and to turn the vibration off. So if you are hiding, that doesn't, you know, go off and let somebody know if you're in an office or something that somebody's in there. And if you are in an office, turn the lights off, lock the door, barricade the door if you can, get away from the windows, close the blinds, make it look like nobody's inside.
That is invaluable. And they're so simple. But again, the problem is knowing what to do at the moment if you haven't rehearsed it or even learned it.
I know. Yeah, I mean, there was an active shooter at Michigan State. I think it was about a year and a half ago. And everyone was stuck in the classroom. And this one young student knew what to do. And he knew to open the window and jump out and get everybody out that way. But there was one student in the class who absolutely froze. And afterwards, she said, "I didn't know what to do. And if he wasn't there, I would have been left in that classroom and I probably would have been shot and killed." So it is so important to, you know, we don't want to think about these things because they're scary. But again, being scared is when you don't know what to do in an intense situation where your life could possibly be on the line.
That's so true. We had a situation just about 2 months ago. We were in a movie theater, and all of a sudden in the middle of the movie, the lights come on and all the alarms start flashing. And again, what comes to mind is not what to do, but it's in Colorado, they had active shooter probably 8-10 years ago in the movie theaters. And the first thing I thought about, where is the other exit?
Yep.
And, but it's just amazing how the fear takes over. And without the experience and the practice, fear takes over and we're left in fear as opposed to trying to figure out what to do next.
Yeah. So and it's not about, like, the courses are empowering because you're going to remember these things. Like, I'm telling you specific scenarios today, and anybody listening to this is going to remember, my God, if I'm in an active shooter situation and I'm hiding, I have to turn my ringer off and the vibration off. I never would have thought of that. And that's really like what the whole course is about. Like, it's about all different scenarios in our lives, whether it's Uber, whether it's walking through a parking lot, whether it's getting gas. There are certain things that we can do that puts us in the best position to have awareness. Because when we have awareness, we can identify danger. We can identify the person that doesn't really fit that environment. But if we don't have that awareness, if we don't put our bodies and our head in the best position, then we can fall victim to the element of surprise. And that is scary.
That's the scary part, right? So you had a question here about how important is it to stand by your answer when you respond no? And I think this is a huge question, especially with so many people wanting to fit in and be a part of and not being left out, and saying no feels isolating. But talk about that importance.
I think when you say no, it's your first thought. And so if someone ever tries to talk you out of your answer no, it's a yellow flag. You've distinctively have said no. And now anybody who gets you to change your mind is trying to talk you out of your answer. So let's just say somebody's at a bar and they want to buy you a drink and you say no. And they say, "Come on, just have one. Come on, the night is young." Whatever they're saying to you, your answer was no. And you said no for a reason. And you should never change your mind, specifically as women, because you feel guilty. You don't want to be rude. You don't want them to say anything negative about you. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I always tell women, like, it doesn't matter. Even if you're rude, it doesn't matter. You're never going to see these people again. What matters is that if you have a bad feeling and you say no to somebody, it's for a reason. If somebody says, hey, can I walk you to your car? And you're like, oh, God, I don't want them to walk me to my car. You know, you're like, no, I'm waiting for somebody else. And they're like, okay, well, I don't mind. I mean, I'm here right now. And they keep trying to walk you to your car. You don't let them do that. They're trying to get you alone. You're outside at a party and somebody says, you want to go outside in the back? And you go, no, thanks. And they're like, come on, it's really nice out. Da 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 da. Bring you a drink. They're trying to move you to areas of isolation. So when you say no, you have to honor it because there is a distinct reason why that was your response.
Right. Can you address it in a situation where it's a family or a work office situation or a team where you know these people? And so it's much easier to let your guard down because you, quote, know these people. But I'm sure there's many situations that the perpetrator is somebody you know.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, 8 out of 10 times when somebody's sexually assaulted, they know the person that did it. So let's just say it is family and friends. And maybe somebody gives you a ride home and they want to come inside. And you're like, no, that's okay. And, you know, but they talk themselves into it. Inside of your house or your apartment is an area of isolation. And so, again, that's how sexual assaults happen. They get inside. Maybe it's your hotel room, whatever it is. You really knew it wasn't a good idea. You kind of said, no, that's not a good idea. Or maybe inside to yourself, you said, no, that's not a good idea. But you let them in. And that's how violence can happen.
Right. So no is no, no matter who it is.
No is no, you know, and I understand like peer pressure. And I always say like, you know, sometimes like if I'm speaking to the college students, I'm like, did you ever bring somebody home? And you're like, oh yeah, we're going to go here on a Friday night, da, da, da. And your parents say, no, you're not. And I go, that's how your no should be. Like when your mom would say no to you, there was no wiggle room. I use that all the time. Like there's no wiggle room. Like the no is no. And that's when somebody's concerning, you have to learn to say no like that and to stand by it because there should be no wiggle room.
Right. That story is great because that does bring back the feeling of no and somebody who stands behind no. And that's what you're teaching, which is great. Well, Barb, we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about your courses and how our listeners can find a lot of your great information.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
Discover the power of the seeing brain, the creator of your true vision. Dr. Lynn Hellerstein's number one bestseller book, Expand Your Vision, helps you see with clarity and gain courage and confidence. Remove roadblocks and visualize your new lens to see and experience your world. Get Expand Your Vision on Amazon or visit lynnhellerstein.com.
Hi, friends. We're with Barb Jordan, who's a great softball player, award-winning softball player. But today we're talking about personal safety. She's an expert in that, has started a whole organization, many classes regarding helping people be safe. We were talking about really being aware of situations and listening to yourself and having the power of saying no. So many times we have a gut feeling or an intuition or a sense that something's just not right. You want to share some information about the importance of listening to your own body and your own sense.
Yeah, intuition can absolutely keep us safe. You know, the story goes like this. My sister Bev, that was tragically killed, she has an identical twin sister. And in the 8 months that Bev was engaged, Karen often said, I don't like Rich. I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something about him that I don't like. That was intuition. But people dismissed it. They said, oh, Karen, you're just jealous Bev's getting married, you know, before you are. I mean, that's really what they tossed it to.
Right.
But looking back on it, Karen knew from the very first moment she met him, she didn't like him. And I think it's so important that people realize that intuition is a feeling. You know, oftentimes women specifically will go over to a guy and they'll be like, hey, or their friends, and they'll say, hey, that guy over there, you know, he kind of creeped me out. He gave me a bad feeling. And, you know, people will say, well, what did he say? What did he do? And they're like, nothing. He just creeped me out. Well, that's it. That's intuition. And if people understood that it's a feeling that you get, a lot of times women, we get it in our stomachs. Men, the hair on your neck goes up or the hair on your arms go up. That's intuition. You know, a lot of times, like if a handyman comes to the house and I open up the door, I stop and I look, just I look for like 2 or 3 seconds. And if nothing happens, I go, good, you know, and he comes in. Sometimes I open up the door and I go, oh, God, you know, like I got a bad feeling about this guy, you know. Doesn't mean he's going to do something violent, but he's somebody that I definitely am not going to be caught alone with, not going to be cornered with. And if I can, I'm going to have somebody else there to make sure that I stay safe.
Did Karen ever tell Bev her intuition and feelings?
Yeah, but I think it was just, you know, dismissed. And yeah. I think this is what I think, Dr. Lynn. I think any victim, whether it's, you know, domestic violence, whether it's somebody who has been conned and they're in an isolated area, whatever it is, before any type of violence, I think everybody has, like Sammy, the young woman I used for the Uber ride. There's always a moment where they realize they're in trouble. But that moment is too late because they're trapped and they can't get out. And that's what happened to my sister. You know, these people, they're charming and they're manipulative. Like Bev realized the night before she was killed, she got a notice from the bank saying that all of her money was gone. And so she went home that night and she questioned Rich and she's like, where's all the money? And he said, well, now you've ruined the wedding surprise. This was going to be our anniversary. Not our anniversary. This was going to be your wedding gift. And if you come with me tomorrow morning, I'll show you what I did with that money. I've bought us a new condominium. And so Bev got into her car. He got into his car because they were going to go their separate ways to work that day. And he took Bev. She followed him up an isolated road called Santa Susana Pass in Chatsworth, California. And he parked his car somewhere on Santa Susana Pass, which is completely isolated, a windy road up a mountain. And he got out of his car and he went to her car and he shot and killed her. So that's how it happens. And I know Bev was super smart. And I know that Bev knew something was wrong. But these guys, they're charming and manipulative and they get us to change our minds. And so when we know, I always say, when you know, you know, and you don't have to describe it and you don't have to be definitive, but tell others. If you're concerned about somebody else, tell others, because that is how we empower ourselves to make the right decision.
Yeah. I hear your passion, your voice to help people protect themselves. It's so clear. And hearing your personal story with your sister certainly helps me understand why that is, but you're very passionate and see this is your important mission in your life. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it is my passion. You know, you read some of my bio. You know, I've traveled the world as an elite athlete and as a coach. I've been able to coach Team USA, and I loved it, and I loved being a broadcaster. But this, people always say, Barb, this is your calling, and I don't know. I'm just very natural at it. And I have a long experience, obviously, with speaking. And I can, you know, read an audience. And it's not about, as you mentioned, scaring people. It's about empowering people and teaching them and educating them with different tactics that we can implement into all of our routines, wherever we go, to how to stay safe. And I know, like, people write me all the time. They send me emails and they're like, I thought about you today. I was walking through a parking lot and this guy was just leaning against a car. You know, I thought I knew what to do. And that's so important to me because, you know, when you hear stories like, you're never going to forget the story I just told you about my sister. And there's so many victim stories. And I do use different victim stories. And because of that, I think that people can retain the information and be like, oh, you know, I remember, you know, this woman was on a golf course and she was by herself and someone came out of the marsh and stabbed her to death, you know, but, you know, she probably didn't have a plan. She probably didn't have anything with her to defend herself. And so that's what the course is about, that even if we're in our most comfortable environments, we always have to say to ourselves, well, what if, you know, what if this happened? You know, last week in Florida, a woman is at a traffic light and a guy gets out of his car with a long ranged rifle and walks up to the driver's door and points it at her. You know, we don't think that those things are going to happen to us, but what if they do? And unfortunately, she made the wrong decision. She let him into the vehicle. And of course, they found her body, which had been shot. They found her car, which had been torched. And that's the end of it. Had she driven away after he was following her and was bumping the back of her car, you know, you should never stop driving. You should call the police, not your husband, you know, not your friends. And you should drive to where people, you know, there's a lot of people. And people, but people get scared and they don't know what to do.
Right. You know, when you talked about who to call and where you're at, let's talk a little bit about having the location set on your phone. Does that help you in a way? Or I think there's a lot of risk to having your location on your phone available all the time.
I get frustrated specifically like with online dating, because I think online dating is highly concerning to, you know, when you meet people. So obviously if you're going to do that, you want to meet again in a public location. But people say this, I'll be okay. I have my locations on. Or people go jogging on a remote trail and they say, I'll be okay. I have my phone with me. I have my locations on. And locations is not a plan of self-defense. Location will help us find your body if something happens. So there's a difference. You know, you have to have a better plan than that. And the plan is safety in numbers. Even if you don't know somebody with you, when you're in a public space, when you're jogging and you're going during populated times, that's a lot safer than going at 6 a.m. when nobody else is on the trail. So it's making those decisions and understanding that, you know, we do want to do fun things, but we have to be smart with the decisions that we make. And leaving your locations on is not a plan of self-defense.
Got it. Well,
it's helpful. Don't get me wrong, but it's not the plan should something happen to you.
Well, I think the whole online dating situation is I won't even get into that, but
oh, let me just say this. I love to like look at the pictures. I mean, and even like even on social media, the people that want to be your friends, they always say they're doctors and they have dogs sitting on their lap and they wear their white lab coats. And I just roll my eyes like, come on. But, you know, and then they have this great inspirational quote, you know, under their name or something. And I think it's sad, though, because some people fall for it.
Right. So it's about being aware, being vigilant, and being trained. Let's talk about your courses. How can our listeners find out more about your courses and get in contact with you?
Yeah, my website is alwaysbev.com. So Bev for Beverly. So alwaysbev.com. And if you go to that website, there is a link for online courses where I have several courses. One is specifically for women. And it's just filled with safety tips for all the different things that we do. And it's empowering. So I do recommend that people take a look at it. I have a college course coming out, self-defense course coming out. And I'm really proud of it. And it's gotten a really good response thus far.
Well, that sounds great. And I'm going to be looking at it and bring in a course from my office. I have an office of 25 that a majority are women, young women.
Oh yeah. I highly recommend it for sure.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great in service for my entire office. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we wrap it up?
You know, I do want to say this, that it takes time to get to know people. And, you know, people always tell you the good things about them. Kind of like when I talked about the images that people do on social media or online dating. They're portraying to the world that they're good. And you know, we don't know if people are good or not. And I don't mean to make people feel like, oh, I don't want to not trust people. I want people to understand that you trust people over time, not because you went and had two drinks with them, not because, you know, their son plays Little League, you know, with your son. Trust is earned over time, and it takes time to get to know people.
Oh, well said. Thank you. Well, it's just been a delight to have you. I think your information, your passion applies to everybody of all ages. And check Barb out on her website. All that information will be on our show notes. And I thank you so very much for who you are and really what you're doing in this world, Barb.
Dr. Lynn, thank you so much. And I appreciate you having me on your show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
Friends,
bye-bye.
And we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on Vision Beyond Sight. Join Dr. Lynn Hellerstein each week to help you find clarity in your functional vision and expand the power of your seeing brain to gain courage, confidence, and success in your life. Remember, your vision does not define you. You define your vision. For more information and find additional podcasts, visit lynnhellerstein.com. See you next time on Vision Beyond Sight.